faith. He talks about the word printed there in verse 24. He says, or actually the end of verse 23, oh, that they were printed in a book. And that's a word that literally has the idea of inscribing. It has at its core the word lawgiver. And what he's saying is, I wish it were just nailed down so everybody could look at it like a Bible. He again moves there. He wants a witness. He wants a Bible. And thirdly, he says in verse 25 or verse 24 that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in a rock forever. What he's saying is, I wish somebody would just take us and make us a Mount Rushmore about God. And what would he say? He'd say, I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, people want to do away with the cross today. Well, it's not seeker friendly. You know what my Bible says? It says there's none that seek after God. So what are we doing? I'll tell you what, when I look at the cross, I see the graving. I saw somebody that had a crucifix, and forgive me, I'm not trying to be hard on you. Maybe you're wearing one this morning, and you have a little cross, and it's got Jesus on it. It's Easter, and maybe that's what you know. But I just want to encourage you, if you've got a crucifix in your home, you need to update the version, because he's not there anymore. Amen. The cross tells me my Redeemer lives. And I'm there. I'm all there, because I got nothing else, folks. I got nothing for you. I got Jesus. And I know He lives. And He wanted everybody to know it was in His life. He wanted to see it in a book. He wanted it to be put on top of a Mount Rushmore type situation. He wanted it dug in, and He wanted it poured in with lead. He said, just don't let it waste away. I want everybody to know something. Beloved, He was a man who was convinced of his hope. That's what he was. And so he was so convinced he wanted those things. Secondly, he was comforted by his hope. Are you ever comforted by your hope? Do you ever just kind of curl up in a nook with the book and just sit back and say, wow, this is great? The Bible says that the godly are those who delight daily in the... all their delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law, they do meditate day and night. You know who the godly are? The godly are the ones that love the book. You say, well, I'm listening, Pastor, and you know, I kind of like it. I respect it. I believe the Bible. That's a nice book. Demon faith. The godly are those who love the book, the Bible says. Do you know God was never more like Himself than when He died on the cross? And everybody's got this idea about God being mean. God is not mean. God is mad. He's mad at sin. He's mad at what it did to His creation. He's mad at what it does to you. Do you know what it does to you? You know, have you ever just sit back and kind of look and got a little quiet? And I know we hate quiet. Boy, we hate quiet. We get quiet. You know, they don't put those dentist office, you know, dulling music in there for no reason. We just can't stay in that quiet. Boy, if we start thinking about it, we're going to run out the door. They're going to drill in my mouth. What am I? And I'm going to pay them for it. Where's the clearance aisle? Amen? I don't want to pay that money. Not that. It's going to hurt. I think. I just had some work done on my tooth recently. Y'all know that because I've whined about it. And when they took that needle, man, they shoved it up in my roof of my mouth. I didn't punch him, but I wanted to. I'm telling you, somebody shoves a needle in your mouth, they better have a good reason. I didn't punch him because I didn't want him to have to do it again later, you know. So it was really easy to control myself at that moment. What am I saying? Here's a man who was convinced in his hope, but he also was comforted by his hope. The Bible says some things that he knew. He knew several things, you know. And the first thing the Bible says is in verse 25. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. You know, a high point. Can you think of one higher? I mean, I'm thinking, well, there's that Passover thing going on, but that was a pretty dark day. It was good. And next morning, you know, sun comes in the morning, right? But I'm thinking, man, I don't know. There's a lot of people, a lot of cleanup going on out there. A lot of wailing, a lot of misery that day. This man defied all odds and found praise. That's what he found. He found praise unto his God. He said, I know. And he didn't say, I hope so. You see, Christians don't have a hope so faith. They have hope. And it's a real hope. It's a no-so hope. It's a hope that says, it doesn't matter what comes, I'm going to be all right. Did you know you're going to be all right? You say, I don't feel like I'm going to be all right, Pastor. I'm dying inside. I know, but hang on. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. Didn't it? And I'm telling you something, folks. The Bible tells us this man, 2,000 years before the cross, said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. Now, folks, that is huge. That is a personal affirmation of a faith. That is my Redeemer. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Now, folks, when the lights go out, do you know He is with you? Do you know that He is your Redeemer? Do you know that you are in the family of God? Are you concerned, as Job was, that other people would hear it, hear your words written, and go to the book and find what you found and put it on a marquee and let everybody? Are you there because that is the true essence of faith? Are you going in cognito? Are you hiding your Jesus first pin on the back of your lapel so when you find a Christ, Hey, there's one. Yeah, I'm a Christian. You know, I was walking back here. I was talking. I don't know who it was. Was it Brian? I think Brian helped me out. I had my lapel like this. He reached over and he helped me out. I said, "Thank you, brother." Because he was my brother. He helped me out. Listen, we need to help each other out. All I'm doing today is I'm trying to help you out. We need to get in the game. There's a battle going on. I noticed many of the songs Trey has, this group singing here today, because he writes much of their stuff. That devil in there. He gave us a devil this morning. Did you hear him? He's been fighting with the devil. You know what I appreciate about these guys when they come in? They're not trying to pretend or put on. I mean, his hand's up here shaking a little, and he's putting it out. He's just opening his heart. And Whitney, she just does a wonderful job. And then there's Jeff. But other than that, amen. It's all good, and we just know they're just folks, and they're just here singing with us, and we're thinking, man, if I could just sing like that. But you know what? What I saw was I saw folks, and I heard him talking about the devil, and I want you to know something. You got an enemy. And he wants you to lay down your hope. He wants you to let go of your scroll. He wants you to give up your promise. I'm telling you something, folks. You're going to need it. Don't let anybody take your crown. Don't let anybody take your scroll. Don't let anybody mess with your hope. Our hope is in the resurrection. You see, he said, "I know my Redeemer liveth," and he had not been walking on the earth in his incarnation yet. He knew he was in heaven on high, but he knew he was a tangible, real person. He said he's going to stand on the earth in the latter day. He knew that this was his Redeemer. He was the Redeemer for you and me. We think, oh, we sing that song, "Thou art worthy, there is a Redeemer." And we think, oh, this is good stuff. But for him, it really was a real essence kind of reality for him. Because for Job, he understood the idea of a Redeemer like we do not. He understood that he was sold under sin, and that without God there constantly pulling him out of his slavery, he would have had no hope. But he says, "You know what? I know that whatever has happened to me," and everything happened to him. In spades, it happened to Job. And he says, "But I know my Redeemer. He's the guy throughout my life who's pulled me out of the toilet, forgive me. He's pulled me out of the mire. He's pulled me out of the mess. He's pulled me out of my obsessions. He's pulled me out of my addictions. He's pulled me out of my sin." He does it again and again and again. And if you say you have no sin, you know not God.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. "Well, I'm okay. I'll be all right." You won't be all right if you do not know Him as your Redeemer. You need a Redeemer. And the Bible says, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter day." That's the second thing he knows. He says, "I know that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I like that in verse 25. Why? Because it's all talking about it all getting right. It's all going to get done, and he's going to come and take it back, beloved. He's taking it back. Now, you talk about the day in which we live and things spiral them out of control. We could talk about that all day, can't we? Boy, we get all indignant. Man, they're messing our country up and the world's coming to an end. And yeah, it might be. But I'm looking at it differently than maybe that. I want to look at it like this. Everywhere I go, I hear people talking about it. I heard some people recently walking by me one day and they were talking about, "Yeah, well, you know, I think the Antichrist is coming out here." They're just talking! Do you know that was the definition of the Great Awakenings? It wasn't the Great Revivals. They call it the Great Awakenings. It wasn't that everybody was getting saved or the Christians were waking up. It was that they were so lit up that the world was talking about God. That's awakening the lost. Now, beloved, the world is spinning out of control, and God is mercifully letting it kind of get gaunt and withered like Patrick is getting in his own experience. And he's saying, you just watch, because I'm coming. You heard about it. Ask someone who knows, and they'll tell you, chapter and verse, he's coming. Job knew it 2,000 years before Jesus ever got here. He knew 4,000 years hence, maybe it would be, that he would stand in the last. The word "in the last" is what it says. It's literally, he will stand at the last. And when it says earth, it means upon the dust, the rubble, the ashes. You know, after he gets done with the world, there's going to be needing a little cleanup, because there's going to be a lot of getting right of things to do, right? You say, well, where do you see that? I see that in the Great Supper of the Lamb, where God calls all those birds and beasts, and he says, you know, come on in. Come to the great feast of our God and clean up this mess, because God's going to wipe them out once and for all. Are you going to be in that army? Are you going to be in the wrong side of that battle? You say, no, no, boy, he comes. He says, you say, he comes and I'm left here and my loved ones are gone. I'm getting saved. You say that now, but if you won't get saved in the light, what makes you think when the lights go out and it's totally unpopular, you're going to get saved? And who's going to tell you how it works? If you won't ask when somebody's available, who knows? What makes you think you're going to find your way groping in the dark all by yourself? Beloved, he's coming again.
Amen.
That's what's happening. And he's getting ready to come. The Bible says in this passage, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day, and though my skin worms destroy. It could stop there with a comma. The word body is not there. It could say, this I know. He could say, this I know. And what does he say? This I know. Though the body of my body, he says, in my flesh I shall see God. Now, beloved, that is huge, because the Bible constantly reaffirms to you and me that no man shall see God and live. But he knew. He knew through his hope. He had walked with God. God had shown up. Did you ever have God show up in your fiery furnace? Did you ever have God show up when the dens of lions were there? Have you ever had God show up when the lights went out and there was no light in the room? And suddenly you found a song. Or you found an unction to pray. You're like sitting there, you feel so far away from God and the lights are out. And you're thinking, man, what am I going to do? I feel so far away from God, I can't even go home. We're like the prodigal. I think it's spitting range down there, guys, okay? It'll flake off when it dries. It'll be all right. What? It does, really. Anyway. It's an amazing thing when God shows up. He makes you pray. He if you're his child, he says, you come on over here and I'll give you a hug. You're thinking he's going to give you a whooping. The whooping has been being away from him. That's the whooping. He turned out the lights. He took out your vitality. It was David who said, when I remained silent, my vitality dried up. I just didn't have anything. I couldn't find the song, couldn't find lift, couldn't find hope. Oh, beloved, we are the hopeful, because we have a Redeemer who lives. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that he shall stand in the latter day. I know that I shall see God. And if you look at verse 26 further, he says, or verse 27, he says, though my reins be consumed within me. Literally, that could be translated, my reins are consumed within me. What he's talking about is he's talking about the fact that he aches for that. That he hungers for that. That he pants for the day. He's in the midst of misery. Listen, you say, I hate it when things go wrong. Yeah, I can understand that. But when you get done with the hate, okay? When you get done with all that and you lay it down and say, well, it is what it is and here I am. You know what you can do? You can transcend it. Because you have a hope. Because you have something beyond this world that you look forward to. You can say, this is not all there is. And no matter how bad it gets, how ugly it looks, I will be okay. Because my pilot will get me through. He will. And you'll be sitting there, lights out, and all of a sudden there will dawn a thought in your mind. It's called a promise. And that thought will come to you and you'll say, you know what? He said he'd never leave me, so here, he must be here somewhere. And you start groping around and pretty soon you feel a hand on your shoulder. And it says, peace, my child. I'm here. And suddenly you begin to get it. You say, a real voice? No. Listen, The way God works is He works in that still small voice. He brings to mind His Word. He brings back to your heart His promises. You know, one of the things, they sang a song here a little bit ago and it talked about the devil's not going to take my crown. It wasn't because he can't. It's because in the song, they made up their mind he's not going to get it. You don't just get to keep your crown because you said, God, here, God said, here's your crown. You get to keep your crown because you stood against the wiles of the devil. The Bible says, let no man take your crown. Don't let the devil take it. Don't let a man take it. And what you're doing right now, by even just being in church on a Sunday morning, is you're saying, you know what? I may not have a lot of strength and I can kind of crawl in the door, but you know what? Nobody's going to stop me. I'm going to church today. It may be the first day you've been here in weeks because you're just not a church person. You're not used to it. Listen, when I was a partier in my little moment of insanity as a teenager, you know what happened? Friday nights were party time. Saturday nights were party time. And it wasn't a question whether I was going or not. It's just, where is it? Pointing in the right direction. Right? You sit back and you think, well, this thing, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit because you haven't put it on yet. You haven't really embraced it yet. You've not gotten used to it yet. I used to sit down here about where Jason is, and I had my long hair in my first couple of years, and everybody in the room had gray hair. Now I'm the only one. Yeah, you laugh. Some of you don't have any, so... But I was the only guy, and I had long hair, and I'm sitting down there about where Jason is, and I was saying amen in all the wrong places. I was trying to get it going. What do you do? And they were saying, everybody's going to hell. And I'd say, amen. Does that work? All the older people sitting on the back row saying, oh, brother. How long is this going to last? I got by that. I know when to say amen. I know when to say amen because I know what is true. And that's what amen means. You really can't say amen until you know what's true. Bible tells us in this passage he knew these things and he says, my heart longs for the day when I will see him. And you will never long for Jesus more than when the lights go out. You'll never long for Jesus more than when your apple cart's been upset. You'll never long for Jesus more than when your world turns on its ear. You say, I don't want it. But I'm telling you something. When he washes your eyes with tears, you'll never see the same again. He'll be more precious. He'll be more perfect. He'll be more real to you than ever before. So he will make the bones that he breaks rejoice. Because that is what God does. That is why one of the highest points in the scriptures is in the book of Job. Because you can't get there any other way than through some kind of hurt, pain, or infliction of kind of stumbling.